but he's fast asleep. The winds are so deadly, the water's so deep. Try to be patient, cause soon it'll bring peace. Just one word from his voice and it'll all my sleep. Because you prayed all night, cause you held on with all your might. Tried your cries, have broken the master. And he knows your voice. Lift your hands, it's time to rejoice. Tried your cries, have broken the master.
Hallelujah.
Tried your cries, have broken the master. Tried your cries, have broken the master.
Life can treat you that way, but you know what? The race is not to the swiftest, amen, but he that endureth to the end. Reminds me of an old, old song. Y'all pray for us. I saw wayward traveler in tattered garments clad and struggling up the mountain. It seemed that he was sad. His back was laden heavy. His strength was almost gone. Yet he shouted as he journeyed, deliverance will come. Then pomp of victory, crowns of glory, pomp of victory I shall wear. Then pomp of victory, crown of glory, pomp of victory I shall wear. Well, I saw him in the evening, the sun was bending low. He'd overtop the mountain and he reached the veil below. He saw that golden city, his everlasting home, and shouted loud, Hosanna, deliverance will come. Then pomp of victory, crown of glory, pomp of victory I shall wear. Then pomp of victory, crown of glory, pomp of victory I shall wear. While gazing on that city, just over the narrow flood, a band of holy angels came from the throne of God. They bore him on their pinions, save for the dashing foam. Then joined him in his triumph, deliverance has come. Then pomp
of victory,
crown of glory, pomp of victory I shall wear. Then pomp of victory, crown of glory, pomp of victory I shall wear. Praise God. Gazing on that city, just over the narrow flood, band of holy angels came from the throne of God. They bore him on their pinions, save for the dashing foam. Then they joined him in his triumph. Deliverance has come. Then palm, a victory crown, a glory palm, a victory I shall wear. Then palm, a victory crown, a glory palm, a victory I shall wear. Hallelujah! One of these days, that old long journey's going to be over. Man, we're going to stand on the threshold, that heavenly kingdom prepared by Jesus Christ himself. I can't tell you how old I was when I first heard that song, but it's been many, many years ago, and it had an astounding effect upon my life, because the first time I heard it, I was unsaved. Amen. And I didn't want to be left standing on this side. Amen. I knew I had loved ones already crossed that spiritual Jordan. I knew I had those wonderful family members already there, and I didn't want to be left behind. So that still bears a very important part in my life. Amen. As later on I was able to give my life to the Lord and ask him to come into my life both as Lord and Savior. And I thank him for his goodness, for his mercy. Thank God mercy walked in. Praise the Lord. Amen. How many can still remember that day that Jesus Christ came into your life? Oh, yeah. Praise God. If you have your Bibles tonight, go with us to the book of St. John. I don't intend to be lengthy, but sometimes when I say that, I end up being lengthy. But I don't intend to. I don't intend to. Amen. God has been so very good to us this week. And today, I just feel his holy presence. You pray for us tonight. In the book of St. John, chapter number 12, verses 1 and verse number 2. St. John, chapter 12, verses 1 and verse number 2. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them. Everybody say, one of them that sat at the table with him. Dear Heavenly Father, how we love and thank you, God, for your grace, your mercy, your love. Thank you for this opportunity, and thank you for the desire that you've given us to come and meet together tonight, God, in one mind and one accord, receptive, God, and submissive to your power, to your will, and to your word. Father, I thank you, Lord, for every blessing. I thank you for every miracle that you performed. And Father, I pray tonight, God, that you would just move in this service. Let the Holy Ghost have free reigns, God. I ask you to bless and anoint these lips of clay, God. This vessel tonight is nothing more, though, than just an oracle to be used by your Spirit. Feed us that from heaven, God, that we need. God, give us that we need to hear tonight, that will grow, produce growth and edification into our spirit. And we'll give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. We ask it in the precious holy name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise, and you may be seated tonight. Praise God. I love the story of Lazarus being raised from the dead. But you know what? That's not the end of the story. Here we find that just not a few days, maybe a few days, 5 or 6 at the most, after the miracle of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead, I like what he said, loose him and let him go. Amen? Thank God for that. We find that the Pharisees began to conspire against Jesus. First of all, they recognized that his ability to perform miracles, and they didn't denounce that fact. They understood and condoned that he was doing that. But in so doing, he was either going to cause one or two things. He was going to cause Rome to come and destroy the Pharisee style or mode of worship, and God forbid, because they were financially dependent upon that particular type of service and worship. And they were very stringent to the Mosaic law. And secondly, if something happened
then maybe many of the priests and many of those followers would have been killed. So a man by the name of Caiaphas decided that Jesus should be the one. In fact, he prophesied that Jesus should be the one to die. And he said after his death, then this thing would sort of settle down. How many knows it hadn't settled down yet? Amen. Praise God. He's still alive and well. So Jesus got wind that they were going to try to capture him and going to try to take him. So he went to a place of Ephraim to rest for a few days and just kind of be there. And I think he was there for maybe a week. And there arose an invitation that he was to come to the house of those that he loved. That's what the Bible said when he first came to the house of Mary and Martha and Lazarus, those whom he loved. And he would often stop by there and commune with them and have a dinner with them or whatever the case may be. But this particular time, according to Bible history, Jesus left pretty soon after he raised Lazarus from the dead, insomuch that some scholars would say that Lazarus barely had time to get the napkin off his face to thank the Lord because Jesus had departed. He had a reason for leaving. So it maybe was a supper, just to kind of a thank you supper for what the Lord had done in the family of Mary and Martha and, of course, Lazarus. But whatever the case was, it was a supper or a dinner in honor of Jesus Christ. And I thought that Jesus probably had some or most of his disciples with him. And I would imagine there in the neighborhood, there were several people there that were around when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead that wanted to be a part of this celebration, wanted to be a part of the supper in honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they wanted not only to thank him, but once again to see him in his power and in his might. How many knows that there's something about Jesus? Amen. I believe they were singing, when Jesus is in the house. How many knows when Jesus is in the house, it makes a difference? Glory to God. Problems are not near as severe. Situations are still not nearly as perplexing as they are. Amen. When Jesus comes into our life and into our midst, then we can face any problem anytime. So the people begin to gather there. And I would imagine as Jesus walked in, and I'm not really trying to get in the mind of Jesus, but I know that his ways and his thoughts are very much higher than ours can ever be. Amen. But I would begin to think as he walked in, he began to sort of look around the table. How many has ever had an opportunity to go to a banquet? And on several occasions when the company that I worked for would have these banquets in honor of certain people, and sometimes they would have them in these hotels or places where they rent, and you just didn't go in and sit down anywhere. How many has ever been to one of those places? And you look around and you got your name. Your name is there, and that's where you sit. And whoever's beside you, that's their name. And everybody has a place, and there's a name there. And I don't know if that was the case there that night or not, but I was thinking as Jesus walked in and he began to convey or look over the situation and maybe look and begin to focus on those that were around the table. And maybe he saw some of his disciples and he saw Martha, that she got up and began to minister to them. And he saw many of the neighbors that were present that day when he spoke to Lazarus and said, "Lazarus, come forth." And maybe then as he began to gaze down the table, he saw one sitting there that just a few days before would not have been able to make that particular supper. He would not have been able to sit there, amen, in the presence of that company and in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, because something very final had happened to him. The Bible tells us that he had died. Amen. It wasn't just asleep. He wasn't just motionless. But the Bible tells us that he was dead. And Jesus spoke to him, amen, and he came alive. I want you to understand what Jesus can do to a life that is dead. I want you to understand tonight what Jesus can do, amen, when it seems like all hope is gone. When it seems like we've been put in that spiritual tomb and there's no way out. There's no one to help us. There's no one to give us an encouraging word. But let me tell you, that's when Jesus stepped steps in. That's when Jesus can change death into life. And that was a physical death, amen, that Jesus spoke to him and he came alive. And now he looks and there sits Lazarus, who once was dead, but now he's sitting at the master's table. And I begin to glorify and thank the Lord, because in the place of seeing Lazarus, I saw another person. I saw a person, amen, that wasn't in a natural tomb, but a person who was dead nevertheless. Amen. And I could identify with that, because there was a particular time, I told you just a little while ago, when I sang that song, the very first time that I heard that song, I was lost. It made an impact on my life. I can't tell you, I went to the altar that night. It was some years later, but thank God I did go to the altar, because had the Lord come or called me after hearing that song the first time, and even though I was sitting in a congregation of a Bible-believing church, and even though my granddaddy was preaching in the pulpit, amen, a message about salvation and how you could come to the Lord, I was as dead as I could be. I was lifeless spiritually. I may have clapped my hands. I may have sang the songs of praise, but I want you to know I was not right with God. Had no right whatsoever to sit at the table. But Jesus came in. But Jesus had mercy on me. Thank God that night, later on, when I gave my life to the Lord, he didn't say it verbally, but almost like this, "Eddie, come forth." Amen. And when I hit that altar, he said, "Loose him and let him go." Praise God. And the demons that had possession, amen, all the things that had been bound, amen, they had to let go. There was no way anymore. When Jesus spoke deliverance, how many can remember that night that Jesus gave you deliverance? That night that Jesus said, "Come forth, loose them and let them go." Praise God. No more sin, no more anger, no more problems. Glory to God. The great I Am is now with us. Thank God. I'm able to say today that there is a place sitting, glory to God, with my name on it. Not because I'm worthy, not because I earned it, but because Jesus had mercy on my soul and on my life. He who had been dead. The Bible is very plain about that. Not getting him mixed up with any other Lazarus. But that same Lazarus who was breathless, that same Lazarus who was already placed in a tomb, who came forth, was now sitting at the master's table, able to comprehend, able to hear, able to feel the mighty presence of Almighty God. And I ask us tonight, can we relate to that? Can we understand the spiritual death, the spiritual situation that we were in before the Lord had mercy upon our soul and called us out of that world, called us out of that sinful nature, and gave us a brand new start? Praise God. I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful now that I have a right to sit at the master's table, where once I didn't. But what a blessing that is tonight, God. Oh, what a wonderful thing. Thank you, Lord, that you have given me that opportunity. Then I begin to think, too, in Revelation chapter number 19, about another table, about the table that is referred to, amen, John the Revelator, as the Spirit of God came upon him and began to encourage him to write. And in verse number 5 of the 19th chapter of the book of Revelation, "And a voice came out of the throne saying, Praise our God, all ye his saints, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. Do you realize how blessed we are, folks? We have a reservation. Amen. We have a place sitting. Glory to God. And I begin to think, as I was reading that this week, I begin to associate it with the wonderful miracle of the Lazarus being able to sit at a table. Do you understand? So many things we take for granted. Amen. But when death comes, that is the end. You can't do anything more with life and breath gone from you. Many things that you intended to do. Amen. You can't do it after that particular time that the breath leaves your body. I've talked to so many people and many folks on their dying bed and many folks that I've had a chance to sit and pray with them, and many times they would say, "Preacher, I wished I had done this differently," or "I wished I had started for the Lord earlier." But when death comes and when that breath is taken away from us, how many knows that our intentions are falling by the wayside? The Bible says now, today is the day of salvation. Amen. I'm encouraged to know that many in the church tonight already have a place sitting, but only you and God know that for real. If you have not made that preparation, if you've not asked Jesus Christ to come into your life, if you've not been born again, praise God, you need to get that straightened out, because you and I don't have the promise of tomorrow. But I'm telling you tonight, when you have Jesus come into your life, when He fills you with your spirit, there is a name sitting right there. Do you realize nobody else has access to that place? It's all prepared for you. It's made especially for you tonight. Glory to God. Even though I was dead, I am now alive through the Spirit and through the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And as I begin to thank God for that, I begin to visually try to pray, God, heaven's going to be a wonderful place. There's many, many songs written about heaven. Heaven sounding sweeter all the time. Beulah Land. Heaven is for real. All of these wonderful things that point to heaven and try to give us a description of heaven. But the Bible talks about that marriage lamb, the marriage supper for the Lamb. And I begin to think about that. And I know it's not a physical setting. I know it's not a physical table. It's all been spiritualized. But I begin to think about who's sitting around that table. My heart began to rejoice in the fact, amen, that I've got loved ones. Glory to God. How many could lift your hand? Say, "I'm expecting to see some loved ones over there." Glory to God. Those that you thought you had to say goodbye to. Those that you said, if I just had one more opportunity to tell them I love them. If I just had one more chance to put my arms around him or her and let them know how much I care. I'm here to tell you, one of these days, glory to God, guess who's going to be sitting at the table? Praise God. Every born-again saint of God is going to be there. Glory to God. Those wonderful patriarchs of old. And most importantly, I'm going to get to see Jesus, who the one that made it possible. Amen. For me to feel what I feel tonight. Brother Jim, the one that made it possible to give me a reservation to that glorious supper that has been prepared. Amen. By the Lamb. I thank God for that opportunity. I thank God for the life that He gave me. I'm so glad that God is a God of second chances. I know I've shared with you before, I did not heed God's calling when He first called me. I thought that I had plenty of time. I thought that maybe later on in life, when I was a little older and I'd had maybe a few more years to do the things that I wanted to do. Isn't it amazing now, looking back, none of that was worth it. None of that was worth it. I wish I'd have made a start earlier than I had. Amen. But at that particular time, the world looked pretty good to me. Amen. I thought as long as I could sort of sit in church and be close to those that were born again, that God would have mercy on me. And thank God that He did. He gave me another chance. But let me tell you something, folks. God has not promised to give us another chance. Amen. I know He's a God of second chances. And I thank God in my case, He gave me another chance. But He doesn't have to. And I want you to understand, there can be a place sitting at the table for you. Amen. Not only for those precious loved ones, those grandmothers, those grandfathers that have already gone, but look who's sitting at the table now. He that was dead. He that was lifeless. Amen. He that had no hope outside of the Lord Jesus Christ and has now been made possible because of a loving Savior. Amen. I thank Him with all of my heart. I love Him. Amen. And I can't thank Him enough. Amen. For where He brought me from and where He has placed me. And I want to tell you from the bottom of my heart, I want to see each and every one of you sitting at that table. Amen. We have told the story of Lazarus, how that it was an impossibility by man, but the Bible tells us that things that are impossible by man are made possible by God. And I want to tell you tonight, it is not impossible. No matter what you've done in life, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've been involved in, you can still have a place sitting at the table because that mercy walked in, because of His grace, because of His overwhelming love. And I'm going to be very, very abbreviated tonight, very, very short, and give you that opportunity because my heart's desire, you know, the Bible said, my heart's desire that all of Israel be saved. My heart's desire that every single person under the sound of my voice is sitting in that glorious table that's prepared in heaven. Amen. I love the Word of God. I love worship. I love praise. I love shouting. I love revival. But folks, all of that is on this side. I want to make sure, absolutely positive, that everyone I've had a chance to witness to, that their heart is right. Amen. That their soul is right. That they're born again. So that they can have a place at that glorious table that's prepared for us by Jesus Christ. So I'm going to ask us tonight, if we would stand, every head bowed, every eye closed. First of all, I want you to just kind of reminisce and thank God for those precious saints who have already gone. Then I want you to ask yourself this important question. Will I be one of those sitting at that heavenly table? Will I be one of those that will be able to spend eternity with my loved ones and with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Is there an urgency in my life to get this done? Or will I put it off like I have for so many times? Tonight is that night. Tonight is that night to make sure without a doubt. There's a little song that says, where will you be a million years from now? Will you be happy? Will you be singing while ages roll throughout eternity? I ask this question, where will you be? This altar is open. I'm going to sing that verse one more time. If you have an uncertainty in your heart tonight, won't you come? Won't you come tonight and make sure that everything is right? Amen. Where will you be a million years from now? Will you be happy? Will you be singing while ages roll throughout eternity? I ask this question, where will you be? Sing it with me, church. Where will you be a million years from now? Will you be happy? Will you be singing while ages roll throughout eternity? I ask this question, where will you be? I feel such an urgency tonight before we dismiss. If everyone here under the sound of my voice is assured that heaven is going to be their home, and thank God for that, I'm going to ask you tonight if you would look spiritually into that situation. And is there anyone that's close to you? Is there anyone that's a loved one in your family? Someone you work with? Would you be willing to come and stand in the altar as we pray a dismissal prayer for them, so that you might see their name, so that you might see them in glory? Do you have a loved one? Do you have a friend? Do you have a neighbor? Do you have someone you work with? Would you just come? Amen. Hold them up before the Lord. You can't save them, but the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I pray tonight that everyone represented here, they're coming from all over the church. Let me to know that there's a lot of people that there's some uncertainty in their lives. God, we pray tonight on behalf of every one of these souls. God, everyone who stands tonight is standing here. God, on behalf of a loved one, on behalf of a neighbor, a friend, God, someone that they're uncertain, Lord, if you come or call tonight, they wouldn't be ready to go. Father, I pray that you would answer these prayers. I pray that you would honor their faith tonight. Lord, as we reach out to you, God, asking you to save their soul. God, asking you to turn their life around. God, asking you to have them come forth out of that doom. Come forth out of that deathly situation. Glory to God, and loose them and let them go. Father, we lift them up tonight. Every name, every face, every person, God, that's in this prayer line tonight. Lord, as we pray a prayer for their salvation, we pray a prayer, God, that you would have mercy upon their soul. God, convict their hearts. Bring them to an altar of repentance. In Jesus' name we pray. We give you honor and glory. Amen and amen and amen. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Would you put your hands together for Jesus? Hallelujah, hallelujah.